WQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty. Has it already been a week?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Very, very quick week.
Oh, it's been busy, that's for sure. So,
I know.
What have you been doing?
Writing my articles.
There you go.
Getting my show stuff together and wandering around.
Have you been to the new store yet?
Which one?
Winco.
I went through the parking lot just to see the cars. Because I heard yesterday was an insane asylum over there.
Oh, yes.
And people were parking 4 miles away and walking to the store or something like that. But it was full this morning at 7:30.
Probably the time to go would be like at 2 in the morning or something.
They're open 24 hours, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just go grocery shopping at 2 in the morning.
And if you can't find it, you can go to Sherm's next door.
Yeah.
See, we're giving love to everybody there.
By the way, this is a gardening show.
Oh, yes.
Believe it or not. Yeah. So welcome. And
we just got off in the dirt.
I know. We were talking about the new stores. But if you have a question about any parts of your landscape or your gardens or trees, shrubs, flowers, how do I build a koi pond, or, you know, how do I make a concrete path or put in a sod lawn or a sprinkler system, you can call 673-4464 and ask your question, and we'll have a discussion. I won't holler at you, and we'll be friends when it's over, okay? But
still be political allies.
Oh, yeah, definitely, even though I'm way out in the right-hand
lane.
Yeah. I knew there was another word I was supposed to use here. But I have loved the rain this past week. My creek is running and looks good.
Yes.
And, you know, what did we do? I saw we had a record on one of the days of, what, 2.5 inches?
Saturday, I believe, yeah.
2.5 inches. I mean, I didn't get that much at my place.
Yeah.
I got a new rain gauge today, so I'm going to start. You know, my other rain gauge gave up the ghost after 20 years. You know, they don't make plastic rain gauges like they used to.
No, they don't.
They fall apart after.
Made in China.
After it got snowed on and cracked and iced and everything else. But I got a new one, or my wife bought me a new one. She's like, got your new rain gauge.
So here's your Christmas present.
Yeah, that's it. And your birthday present. And Thanksgiving present, anyway.
Cover it all.
Yeah. But the creeks and the rivers are looking great. I mean, they're looking like they should, and I'm sure the fish are happy. And the last year, 3 years, at least 3 years, have been below normal on rainfall and precipitation, et cetera, and snowpack. And, of course, the rivers keep flowing, but they get lower and lower, and you see more rocks and more rocks and more rocks. And, you know, I just can't, I don't like that. I don't fish much, but I like the rivers. I like them to be good, clean, and healthy and
right.
Really good.
Right.
But, you know, we saw the results in a lot of natural vegetation in the last 3 years, 4 years, die from lack of soil moisture. You know, come around July, August, and September, I'd drive to through Dixonville area or out to Glide or somewhere for a job, and you know, I saw thousands of natural young Douglas fir stands that were, you know, just naturals, and they were there turning brown in midsummer, and you know, the the ones on the outer edges that were the sun, where they got most of the sun, and they would, you know, progressively lose all their needles, and that was it. And
what a shame.
It was, yeah. and it's only because of that lack of moisture we had for the last 3, maybe 4 years. And
so you're saying the governor was correct?
In what?
Being an extreme drought?
Well, it was an extreme drought, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's probably
that
the
down.
First time I've ever agreed with her in my life.
Oh, mark that down.
Yeah. But, you know, it's such a shame to lose young stands of trees, and hopefully we are back to normal again.
Yes.
Or headed in that right direction. And normal isn't a whole lot of rain. I mean, it's, you know, you You get a little bit in September, and then October jumps up a little bit. Then November, December, and January hit, and you know.
Oh, yeah. and then it gets dark.
Yeah, and it gets dark at noon.
That's about right.
Boy, I'll tell you, winter. I'm getting to be a spring summertime guy. I'll tell you.
I'm right there.
Yes. Oh, geez. But even though I have sold my nursery about a year ago now in landscape business, I still do landscape consultations and master plans, things like that.
Is that keeping you busy?
A little bit, yeah. And it's fun to do, especially on a consultation. You don't have – all you do is – yeah, I walk around the yard, ask questions, and the people tell me, well, this is what I'd like to have. And, you know, I make suggestions as to plants and sizes of plants or what they want to do with the ground and how to do it. And, you know, just and then I kind of write them up a sheet after I'm done. Mm-hmm. Write them up a sheet of everything that I said, and so they have something excuse me, to remind them as they hit their specific areas. And that's fun stuff.
And with that said, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, they could call 679, I think. Yeah, 4100.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
giving
that's
you a little love today.
Oh, good. That's my home phone, so.
Uh-oh. Your wife's going to love you.
Oh, well, it happens. But, you know, like I say, consultations, a lot less work than actually installing a landscape, which might take, you know, a week or two or sometimes three, just depends on the size of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you give them a master plan, you draw them up a plan, and it's to scale, and it has the names of plants and the numbers of plants and all that kind of stuff. That's gets to be a little spendy. It's a few hundred dollars. But, you know, the consultation, they usually run about, you know, anyway, between $50 and $100. Depends on the size of the area and how much time you spend there. And but those they're a lot less work, and my clients they get a product they can do on their own time, you know, over a period of a year or 2 years or whatever.
Give them a guide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's fun stuff because I can ask them. Well, they'll say, well, I want X amount of junipers over here on this bank, and and I say, well, how close do you want to get them? You know, how close? Well, I want to put them over, you know, 5 feet or something. And I say, well, every 10 feet would be more appropriate because then
would
they,
suffice.
Yeah, and you spend less money on plants that are going to overcrowd and die prematurely because they're too close and the branches get all banged up together and
competing.
And they die. You know, they start looking brown and all that kind of stuff.
That's
so,
no good.
No, and I just give them easy, common sense kind of ideas that they can handle without a lot of hassle. And they can always call me later if they run into a problem. I'll go back for a few minutes and don't charge them anything.
Oh, you won't hang up on them?
No, I won't hang up on them. And I actually give them the right phone number, too. and sometimes all I want to do is, you know, learn how to prune their shrubs or their fruit trees. And, you know, and then some people want to be educated about the soil or the drainage that they have in the yard. Is that going to hurt? And all those factors have to be taken into consideration when you're landscaping a yard, especially if it's just a flat thing. You know, it's flat and maybe the whole neighborhood is flat. And so consequently, you're going to have more of a drainage issue than you would if there was some slope to the yard.
Yeah.
And if there's slope to the yard, you can make a from one side of the yard to the next, maybe a fake creek bed with rock and boulders and stuff like that, so that any where the water seems to run a lot and consistently, I mean, then it's funneled into an area that doesn't destroy the rest of their yard. You know, so there's a lot of different ways to get rid of the bad stuff, you know, and actually decorate the yard at the same time. So
there you go.
And those are good things. Those are like I say, those are fun things. And everybody I can't remember anybody ever complaining at the end of a maintenance, walk around like that, that they didn't get enough information or they didn't like what I said or anything like that. And I've only done, maybe 500 of them over the years.
Is that all?
That's all. Wow. I try to take it easy, you know. They add up after a while. Mm. But I tell them how to improve their lawn. You know, a lot of people have lawn issues and don't know why that's turning yellow or why I'm getting bare spots or why isn't growing like it did when I first put it in. And you know, you do a couple of preliminary soil checks and it's usually a drainage problem. It's hard clay. It's not draining correctly.
Yeah.
And consequently, they may be overwatering or underwatering, and they haven't aerated, and aeration just taking plugs out so that whatever moisture is available and fertilizer, it will actually get down into the root systems and improve the, within 2 weeks is a total difference.
Wow, that quick.
Oh, yeah, right. And, of course, that depends on the time of the year, you know. November, December, January, probably takes a little bit longer, but you get back into the warmer days and longer sunshine. It's like one of the things I don't mind the rain, I don't mind the cold so much, it's the dark I hate.
The dark,
You know, you're going, it's 5 o'clock and it's dark, what's going on?
I know, and we're getting up to that age where we can't see very well.
Well, I can see, but I just don't like the dark.
Oh.
You know, it's too early to be dark. It's 5 o'clock.
I know. Right? It seems like it's around midnight.
Yeah, it does. I know. Oh, gosh. But, a lot of folks have, partial landscapes. They've done some work in their yard.
Yeah.
And they want to know how to kind of finish it off, you know, put the icing on the cake, if you will. And so I point out the problems I see from, too many shrubs in certain areas, too close together, or stuff that has not been pruned. Or some you can prune really, hard and they'll survive. But then there's some that if you prune too hard, then they're going to look kind of ratty and not going to.
They don't like it.
No, they don't. But you can show them these things and eliminate those problems for the future easily. And I instruct them on proper fertilization on their shrubs, on their lawns, whatever. And as to frequency, how often do you do it, and the type of fertilizer that you use, because you use one type of fertilizer on a lawn of a different formula than you would on shrubs and trees. It's not all one size fits all kind of stuff.
It couldn't be that simple.
No, it isn't. If you go and start shopping for fertilizer, you can look and you say, well, that one's only $10 a bag and that one's $20. Well, I'll buy the $10 one. Well, it's the $10 one doesn't have the ingredients that the $20 one has. And the $20 one has multiple trace elements in it where the $10 one didn't. So you get more of a well-balanced diet with the more expensive fertilizer. It's like, you go into a restaurant, you can either have a hamburger or a steak, and the steak's more, but it depends on what you want to feel like when you're done eating that meal, and what it's going to do for you. But if they have, a lawn that looks old and unkept, I'll give them directions on lawn rehab. It needs fertilization, it needs aeration, it needs thatching, because the grass is so old, it's been there 20 years, and it's thicker than your carpet, and so consequently, when you do fertilize or you do water in the summer, the water's not getting into the roots, and so consequently, it's starving to death and dying of thirst all in one fell swoop. You got a break here?
We got a break.
Okay, I shall return.
All right, more grass.
Yeah, lots of grass.
On the other side, what's our phone number?
673-4464. Any questions, fair game.
93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back, Mike. Oh, we got a phone call. Let's grab that one. Right, phone call right away here. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, it's Wes Mello. Mike, I got a question about strawberry patch.
You okay, Wes? How are you? I haven't seen you in ages.
I've been hiding in the corner. How'd I do?
Oh, you did well, buddy. You did well. So what about strawberries?
So I have a raised bed, and I went down and bought new strawberries last, probably late spring, maybe too late. Mm-hmm. And we put in just one bundle in a 4x10 a raised bed. Mm-hmm. And we had reasonable production finally in like maybe August, September, but not that much. The strawberries are great. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, it is like totally filled with plants. And I'm wondering, do I just rip it all out and start all over again, or is there some salvation for this?
Yeah, you know, when you say it's totally filled up with plants, what kind of plants is it filled up with?
It's the same thing. Everything is strawberries.
Well, that's not a bad deal. They're a ground cover, and what you can do is selectively. Now, wait a minute. You can selectively take out the ones that are too crowded, and then start another strawberry patch. But, as far as production, you need to make sure that you fertilize in the spring with a plant food that is agriculturally oriented to produce fruit. In other words, not a high nitrogen content, but a higher percentage of phosphorus and potassium, which that's the chemicals that will produce the fruit better for you, whereas the nitrogen will produce a lot of leaves for you. So, just go ahead and thin them. What?
Well, I suspected that whole, production of new plants in that bed is all tied together with runners. So what do you do?
Yes.
Just cut out all the runners?
Well, you'll never succeed in doing that, Wes. You'll do it if you do it every year, yes. But when you take out the ones that you don't want in there and, respace the ones you do want, every year you're going to have to do some root pruning with a sharp shovel, or a knife or whatever, a butcher knife or something that can cut the roots. You don't have to take the plant out. Just with a sharp shovel, you just stab it all the way around the plant, and that keeps that root structure intact. And the productivity of the plant is not going to roots so much as it's going into flowers and fruit production.
So in other words, I need to sharpen up a shovel and figure out maybe 6 inches of plant that I'm going to salvage and root prune it.
Right.
And fertilize it with something that's agriculturally good for strawberries.
Exactly. And it's something that is, on every fertilizer pack or box or whatever, they always have the NPK, and that stands for nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Well, the nitrogen,
right,
if it's a high percentage of nitrogen, it's going to grow gangbusters, but it's not going to set any fruit. So if you buy a fertilizer, make sure for the plants, make sure it's a low percentage of nitrogen, lower than the phosphorus and the potassium, like a 5-10-10 or something like that, or 5-15-20, something. And that way, that enhances the root structure and produces the fruit.
Got it.
Okay.
All right, I'll give it a go. We'll see what happens. If that doesn't work, how about dynamite? Would that help?
No, but a goat would.
All right, nice chatting with you, Mike.
Okay, thanks, Wes. Appreciate the call.
See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let me take you down.
It's going to be strawberry fields forever. But
boy, see, did you play that?
Yeah. Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Good afternoon. Hey, Mike, I have a Jack Monte birch tree.
Yeah.
And it has, on the south side of it, it looks, there's a dead branch in there, and the leaves have been brown for probably a month or more.
Uh-huh.
And in driving around town, I've noticed the same condition on several others.
Uh-huh.
Is that...
That's not normal. That's not normal for driving around town and seeing, you know, others in the same condition. So it's probably it's probably a virus of some sort, and it probably needs just a spray.
Okay.
You know, spray it maybe once a month till, oh gosh, April, or maybe every other month till about May. And
what do you recommend for a...
Well, there are so many on the market that it's best to go to the co-op and talk to, there's a fellow by the name of Mark. He's really good, hangs out in the back office, but Mark has a lot of good answers. He does. He's helped me over the years.
I've talked to him in the past. Yeah, he's a good man.
Yeah, and he could point out the best one that would work on that. In the meantime, take that branch out. Don't let the stuff spread unless, if you're looking closely at the branch, if you see small buds on the limb on that branch, if you see small buds that are going to come out for next year, what you can do is pull all the bad leaves off of it and leave the branch alone and see what happens in the spring.
Okay. We'll give that a try.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Thank you. All right, there we go. Easy as that.
We don't have any more calls?
Nope.
Well, what's wrong with those people out there? They don't have any questions?
We got plenty of time.
No, we do. But anyway, I was talking about maintenance and not maintenance.
I know what you said. Upkeep or whatever.
Well, I was talking about when I give people consultations.
That's what it was.
Yeah, maintenance. I had two questions about maintenance, and it got me confused. Oh, well. It's not hard to do anymore, I'll tell you that.
I can't say it.
No, don't say it. This is a family show. But when I've given directions on how to correct someone's landscape, whether it be the lawn or they need to move something and it needs a machine, or they need a thatching machine or an aerating machine or something like that, I give them the addresses and the names of the companies that I have dealt with for the last 50 years that actually have good machines that work and they're dependable. And if you don't have a pickup, they'll deliver it to you and pick it up when you're done. So like an aerator or a thatcher, very heavy machines. And if you got a pickup and two strong people, they can lift them up there and get them in. But if you don't have a pickup or a trailer or something like that, that's a real difficult process, and they'll deliver to you. So you might think about that.
Yeah,
but I try to give as much information to the client so that whenever they run into a situation and they need a piece of machinery, or they need some fertilizer, or they, you know, what kind of fertilizer should I use on those shrubs versus the lawn, or what kind of machine should I rent to thatch or to aerate, you know, because there's two different machines to do that. And you know, it's I try to give as much information so that whenever they're going to do whatever project, maybe it's maybe they got some very large trees they need pruned. Well, there's several great tree companies here in Douglas County, and I say, well, I've used A, B, and C, and they all do a really great job, and they've got all the equipment to do it, and they're very safety conscious, et cetera, and they'll do you a good job. So, you know, that's all part of that consultation process. So they get their money's worth when I walk out of the yard and they're happy.
Got a smile on their face.
Yeah, and I got Chuck in my pocket.
So, absolutely.
So it works out. Yeah. It works out really good that way. Oh, and the last step, I have one more step. I usually write down, not word for word, but I write down the main topics of what we saw and what we talked about, and a quick line of instruction too. So, you know, if I talk to you for an hour in your yard, and I don't know how much you're going to remember, so you'll get some of it. But if I write it all down, hey, you got a piece of paper you can look at and say, oh yeah, I got to go there and get this, or I got to this is when I do that, you know, that kind of thing. So that's all part of that process.
Cool.
And And I'm still doing those things, even though I'm not a active landscape contractor anymore and nursery owner and just work out of my house. Yeah.
Where it's warm.
Where it's warm, yeah. I haven't built a fire yet. I was thinking about tonight, though. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's going to be 37. It's going to be
37? Yeah.
Yep. That's nippy.
Oh, gosh. But that's very helpful. That's a very helpful process for folks that don't want to spend a, you know, $600-$800 on a master plan, and you know, they can get by with a lot if they're the type that works in their yard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can get by for $150-$200. You know, and they've got all that information.
And accomplish the same thing.
Yeah, well, because a master plan is, you know, much more involved. And once I get the picture of, you know, what the client wants, then I measure the area and do several soil tests. And then, you know, it's very accurate, you know, down to the, maybe to the inch, but to the nearest half a foot anyway. And I also take note of the neighborhood and other existing landscapes.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to duplicate what the guy across the street has. I don't want to, you know, because there's a same, if you drive down some of these neighborhoods, there's a sameness almost to some of the landscapes, because this guy did his in 1 year and the other guy didn't know what to do, but he kind of copied him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it's okay and it looks all right, but it's not something you go, wow, that looks really cool. You know, so that's what I try to do when I design one and I draw it up. And I can thank UCC for teaching me, you know, how to draft and do all that. Because I took forestry when I went to UCC. But somehow I got stuck in an engineering class. And I'm in this engineering class on day one. And Hal Ball was the instructor. And he writes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, and then I'm thinking, what's that? He says, okay, this is how you print these numbers. This would be prior to computer work and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, and every day we had to write three times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, 1, and do the alphabet once and then turn in the paper. That was part of our grade.
Yeah.
And he would make notes on it. When he turned them back, he said, hey, you got to be a little bit, you know, a little more careful on this or a little more careful on that. But it was great because I can print almost like a typewriter, you know. When I'm doing a master plan, it takes some time and all that, but it's very professional.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a computer that will spit it out for me done. So, yeah, and that's why master plans are so much more involved. But, you know, like I say, once I get the picture of it and I measure it and I do some soil testing just to see what the soil is like. And also, like I said, take note of the neighborhood and other existing landscapes so as I don't duplicate or cut somebody off with a big tree on the side yard that's going to overshadow their home as well. You know, all those little things that
add up
would cause problems for not only the homeowner I'm doing the work for, but his neighbors as well, because the tree that I suggested grew 100 feet and it's leaning over the neighbor's house. You know, that's not a cool thing.
Howdy, neighbor.
And they would hate me. You got your finger on the trigger there.
Yep, we got another break.
Okay, we'll be back.
Phone number
673-4464 is the number if you have a question.
Thank you, sir. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, that was quick.
Yep.
And we got a phone call, Mike.
Okay. Well, don't desert me yet.
Hey, good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Yes, Mike Winters.
Hello.
hello there. So, I need to ask you a couple questions. I heard you say something about fountains. I have a three-tier fountain, a seamount one.
Uh-huh.
And when I don't turn the motor on, it the water stays in there. But when I turn it on and it pumps, the water goes out. Now, do you have someone that fixes those things? Do you know someone?
Where did you get it?
I purchased it used, of course, and in it, there's no holes in it or anything. I mean, I know that because if it was, if you don't turn the motor on, it doesn't. It right. Just the water stays in.
Sure.
So what I'm asking is, there is someone that knows how to fix or what to level it at or what to do, because it must be that the water is going out, splattering out or something. Or maybe I bought a too big of a pump in it for it. I don't know.
I have to see it to, you know, analyze it and all that. But you might go to the co-op, and they sell a lot of fountains there. And there's some person, I don't know their name, that, works with them and knows about them. And you just ask at the front desk and tell them what your problem is, and they'll direct you to that person, and you can explain it to them, and they may have an answer right off the bat. You may have the wrong pump or something like that.
That's what I thought. Maybe I got the pump too big for that. It's cement, though, you know.
Yeah.
And then that was my other question is, when the auction used to be down here on Stevens, I would go there and buy all these old, beautiful pots that were cement, you know, with the, all that. And I lost a lot of plants out of that this year. Is it because cement doesn't, it freezes?
Is it painted cement?
No.
Or non-painted?
Right, non-painted. And I was curious because I really lost some plants out there that I shouldn't have. And I thought maybe they picked up the heat.
Could have been, because we had a good stretch of really hot weather, and they're confined to the pot, so the pot heats up as well. So you've got the sun beating down on it, and then you've got the heat from the pot, and so the root systems are very, very warm, and it's something that you have to feel the soil inside the pot and see if it's, you know, hot, dry, whatever. And if it's hot or dry, you just add water and cool it off and keep track of that until that period of heat dissipates, you know, after 3 or 4 days or 5 days, whatever it is, would be your best bet on that, easiest.
I've never lost plants like this before. Huh. And I thought maybe it was the cement got hot.
Well, it could have been, too. That's why I asked if it was painted or unpainted.
Yeah.
And
no, they were all unpainted, and they're exquisite. Yeah. I mean, that's why I bought them, because of that.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't believe. I was watering them all the time, you know, keeping up on them, and they were just drying up faster than I could water them almost.
Did you have...
So I just was curious.
Did you have any problem with past plantings?
No, just this last year was just horrible. It killed quite a few of my shrubs and stuff.
Okay.
So, you know, so I just was wondering if those pots were kind of brutal in the summer when you get heat that hot and that long a time.
Yeah, it could be. You know, it's hard to say now because it's wet and rainy, but you know, I don't really have a good answer for you. I'm sorry.
Just
what I said is check the soil, keep it moist, not saturated, but moist.
Yes, so I do, but the soil would just dry up around it so fast. You know, you could see it was drying up around it. Yeah. And I just had never experienced anything like that. So I was curious. Yeah. Then I have another question if you have time.
Sure.
Okay. I have the most beautiful blue spruce in my front yard to the side. And it's called Fat Albert. That's what it was called back then.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
That's what it. Oh, okay. It's getting bigger and bigger, and how many years old it is, I guess, by how many layers. And I've and I guess it's about 15 years old now, mm-hmm. and it's quite large.
Okay.
Do they stop ever after a while, or do they just keep bigger and bigger?
Well, they're kind of semi-dwarf. It will get larger, but not as large as a regular spruce.
Okay. And you know, the roots were just, they were going through my yard and going like crazy.
Yeah.
And I had my gardener actually cut some of the roots because they were digging up all my walkways and everything.
Uh-huh.
And they seem to be fine with that. They didn't seem to care.
No, they don't. There's plenty of roots there.
I know. I thought it was going to take up the whole house and, you know, send it over the side. And then I did something really stupid, and I planted a magnolia pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, maybe I should just have you come out and take a look and tell me what to do with some things.
Sure, I can do that.
And I didn't catch your number, your home phone number, to call your wife. So if you want to give me that number.
Yeah, it's 679-4100.
4100.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will call you and set up an appointment because I really do need some help. When I moved in here 13, 14 years ago, mm-hmm. I lived on the hill up there on Reagan, well,
mm-hmm.
up on, you know. Anyway, we're up on a hill, and I took the hill on. Well, I should have just left it like everybody else did up there and just put rock in.
Yeah.
But I took it on, and I went down, and I planted, and I planted, and I planted, and I had more fun. Now I'm older, and I can't get down to take care, but I have a gardener, and he does all that.
Good.
I had to hire him because I sure in the heck can't get up and down there. So, you know, I need, probably you could tell me what I should do with that.
Sure.
But the biggest thing is Fat Albert out there. He's, oh my gosh, everyone says he's the most beautiful tree mm-hmm. they have ever seen, this blue spruce, you know.
Okay.
So, so I will give you a call
okay.
and set up an appointment for you to come out. And, you know, it's not too late to start planting some things, is it?
No, it's perfect.
Oh.
Perfect.
Is it?
Yep.
Okay, because... Okay. All righty. Well, I'll give you a jingling and set you up to come out here and help me with. I overdo everything I do. Okay.
Well, quit that.
You know that up front. Everything I do more of. If I buy one plant, I buy three plants.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's what I do. So, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Jim. Thank you for the call. Bye bye. Another break. 673-4464 is our phone number.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, it's 4:51 and getting dark outside. We're back, Mike.
Okay, and we're talking about landscape plans and consultations and all that. And before that flurry of calls, which was really cool. I love all those calls. Now, a master plan is much more, like I said, involved. Once I get the picture of what the client wants, I then measure the area very carefully and do several soil tests just to see what the soil is like and see what the drainage is like and the lay of the land and so that whatever, again, and there's kind of a consultation process involved in a master plan too, because the client says, "Well, I want this. I want some fruit trees. I want a lawn. I want sprinklers, or I want these kinds of shrubs. I like those kinds of shrubs, and the bed sizes. And you know, you just kind of get the general picture, and then after they've given you their general picture, at that point in time, I can say, well, this is a doable project, but your lawn area may be too large or too small for your existing square footage back here, or the front yard, whatever it is. And and then if they say, well, we want some shade trees, well, you have to, if it's a smaller yard, you have to, like I said earlier, you have to be careful of the type of shade trees that you put in, because you don't want it to be overreaching into the neighbor's yard within 10 years where there are branches hanging over the neighbor's fence or the neighbor's roof. That's a bad thing waiting to happen in case there's a snowstorm or a good old windstorm, that kind of thing. So all those kinds of details have to be taken into the overall planning process. And then I also look, like I say, at the neighbor's existing landscapes, because I don't want to duplicate any of those landscapes, you know, just kind of throw this in. I want my client to have the best landscape on the street, period, bar none. I want it to be super unique with a lot of color, make it low maintenance or minimal maintenance, and but color different times of the year. You can even have color in the wintertime, for crying out loud, with the right kind of plants. And but some folks, they want a very low maintenance type of landscape. They don't want to be out there in their yard working 3 or 4 hours every week on keeping it nice and keeping it good. And then the flip side of that, some people want Disneyland out there. They want this and they want that. And those are the people I have to rein back a little bit and say, that's too many. That's too many of those, because they get, 10 feet tall, 7 feet wide. And if you put 5 of them in there, it takes up your whole yard and you're going to be pruning until the cows come home, that kind of thing. So they understand that when you explain that to them. And oftentimes I'll bring a plant catalog with pictures, photos, color photos, and say, this is what that particular tree looks like when it's growing, and you can actually see how large it is. Or these shrubs are, this is how big they get, so you only, instead of having 5 in that area, you might only have 3. Or there's an area that you can put more shrubs in the back for a privacy screen, and just try to give them a lot of options that they can think about. And if you say something they don't like, okay, you cross that puppy off the list. And then all that information I take back to my office at home, and begin the drawing process. And that takes about a day to do that. And then I write something up as directions and the types and how they grow, how large they grow, what type of fertilizer, when you prune, how you prune, all the information that they could possibly use or need to maintain that landscape in a nice way. So, and I usually go back for a visit in between there before I really get done with the drawing, just to make sure I'm on the right track. I don't actually stop and talk to the client. I'll just do a drive-by, and especially like if it's the front yard, just do a drive-by and say, yeah, what I had planned is going to work there.
See how the progress is going.
Yeah, right. And then when they begin to do the landscape, if they need me, they'll ask, well, all you got to do is give me a call. I'll come by and... that's all part of the process. That's all part of the package.
Well, that's nice of you.
Well, it's good business is what it is.
There you go.
That's why I've done about 1,000 of them over the last 50 years.
That's hard to come by these days.
I know. So, I'm not overwhelmed with work. And when I do that, and I can finish, like I say, in about a week, by the time you get it all said and done, and then I take it to a printing place and have copies made so they can have a couple copies in case they spill their coffee on the one out there in the yard.
That's never happened.
Yeah, can you imagine? Can you imagine? But that's part of every master plan. And that way, when you spend time with that client, I make sure, and I've done this since I began, and I learned more as I went, but the more information you give them, the more relaxed they feel about doing the job. Or a lot of them look at it and say, man, that's too much. Can you give me a bid on doing it? Well, sure. We did that in the past and give them a bid, and they say, yeah, go ahead and schedule it. And usually by that time I've got, 3 months worth of work already scheduled. And you go, oh, when am I going to do this? I can do it in October. Oh, how come? Well, that's because I got, 17 others in front of you.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting you to ask me to do it. You said you just wanted a master plan.
Well, but maybe sometimes they can start the project.
Oh, yeah. They could do the dirty work, like clean it up and spray it and take the brush out if there's brush of old plants and things like that.
Get it rolling.
Yeah, get it rolling. Boy, are we almost out of time?
Got about a minute.
Jeez Louise, where did the time go? All these calls really take up time, don't they?
I love it.
I love it, too. It's great. As before the show started, we were talking, and I remember one show we did 7 calls, and it took the entire hour.
Yeah?
And that was a couple years back, I forget.
Were you in the new building yet?
We were in this building.
Okay.
Yeah, the other building was not as fancy as this. This is the fancy one.
This is the state of the art.
This is the executive suite.
Absolutely, nothing but the best.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the talk and the show. I hope you learned something, and don't ever hesitate to call. We get you on the air promptly and let you know what's going on, and all you have to do is have your questions ready, and I can help you out right then. So.
And you're going to be all ready to go next week.
Yes, I will be here next week.
Cool. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll see you in about 7 days.
7?
Isn't that what it is?
I thought it was 19.
19, okay. Let's pick a number.
Okay.
All right, the afternoon report is coming up with Douglas County's news team on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.